read Malachi 1, you see how God feels about what they are doing. And it's not a good thing. You do not want to fall in the category of Malachi chapter 1. The first thing I want you to understand about worship, and that's what we're doing here this morning. We have come together, hopefully, to worship God. The first thing that we need to understand, God, number one, He deserves to have what He wants. But worship is not you just being here. Worship is not you just showing up. See, you look in chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, right? The Old Testament, it shows a lot of God's emotions and how He feels about a lot of things. He says here, this is God speaking to the Israelites. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priest, that despise my name. Now, let's stop right there. What is God saying when He says that? Now, I know you may not, I want you to understand, I am not a King James only guy, but all my passages are in the King James. And that's a whole other reason for the location where I'm at in Quitman. But what's He saying right there? He says, a son honors his father. A master honors the servant. If I am the creator of everything, where is my honor? What's He saying? Where is it that you guys are trying to make me feel like I'm a big deal? That's what He's saying. And these priests, they say this. And you say, these priests, you say, wherein have we despised your name? We're doing stuff. We come in and we show up and we do stuff all the time. Isn't that enough for you, God? God says, you offer polluted bread on my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. They say, we're here. We showed up, God. Isn't that good enough for you? Is worship us just showing up and plopping down in the pews? Is that what God wants? Is that what God wants all by itself? No, that's exactly right. The guy back there shaking his head, no. I agree, no. Are you going to get points awarded for coming out of your house and just sitting in these pews on a Sunday morning? No, you don't get points awarded for that. It's not enough just to sit down and zone out and have your mind wandering. And there's all kinds of things that we can talk about that makes our minds wander on the first day of the week when we should be. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Anyone have any other comments? Anytime you want, just raise your hand. That's good. That's exactly right. See, God, He doesn't want you just here physically and checked out mentally. Again, in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, He says, the hour comes and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. That's what God wants. He's seeking those to worship Him. And it says, those that worship Him must worship Him like that, in spirit and in truth. All right. What does it mean to worship God in spirit? We know what worship God in truth is. What does it mean to worship God in spirit? I'll tell you like I tell the class that I teach all the time. If you ever say anything silly, we won't laugh at you too long, okay? If you get it wrong, it's not a big deal. We're just studying the Bible. What do you think it means to worship God in spirit?
Recognize who He is, have the proper reverence and fear of who He is.
That's right. This guy right here, what's your name?
Bruce.
I don't know if he's looking at my outline or what, or my personal notes. That's exactly right. You look here, I'll tell you what, you let the Bible define these words. When you look at Romans 1, 9 and Romans 7, 25, this is Paul, and this is all him talking. He says, for God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit. All right, you see that? He says, I serve God with my spirit. Well, Paul, how do you do that? You look in 7:25, it's the same guy who wrote this. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. How do you serve God in the Spirit? Your mind is there. You recognize who God is, and you are wanting to give Him what He wants. It's not just you going through the motions. Your mind is engaged in this. See, friends, sometimes if we ain't careful, we can come in these doors with our little truth checklist, and we say, well, you know, there's not a piano in the corner. That's good. You check that off the list. You say, well, there's not a woman in the pulpit. That's good. Check that off the list. You say, well, they got the right doctrine of baptism. You check that off the list. And you think you can just check out and neglect one whole part of the equation, which is the Spirit. See, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. The context here is Paul's talking about their miraculous abilities and how they want to do certain things. And Paul's like, well, what good is it to talk in a bunch of different tongues if you don't have any interpreter, if you don't have anyone that can tell you what's being said? And he says this, 14:15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Listen to this. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. See, when you're doing this, like we're talking about, with the right mentality and the attitude, you are understanding what it is that you are doing. There's going to be songs that's going to be sung today. And when we sing these songs, either you are meaning those words or you are not. When we sing these songs today, either you're understanding the words that's coming out of your mouth or you're not understanding it at all. And I can give you a really good way that you can gauge yourself if you're doing this with the understanding. If at the end of the service someone was to ask you, can you name one single song that we sang today? And you say, well, I don't know. There's a good chance you are just going through the motions in a robotic fashion. It says here, I will pray with the understanding. There's going to be prayer said today. One has already been said. And at the end of the prayer, everyone says amen, pretty much. Can someone tell me what amen means? What does amen mean? Huh? Say it louder. Let it be so. That's right. Let it be so. At the end of a prayer, when you say amen, do you know what you just said, let it be so too? Or did you use that time on this early morning on a Sunday for a prayer to just bow your head and close your eyes and use that time to just doze off just a little bit? See, that is not you giving God what it is that He wants. 1 Corinthians 11:29 on your outline. This verse right here shows how serious of a business that this really is. It says, he that eats and drinks unworthily, we're talking about the Lord's Supper, you know that, eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, what does discern mean? What does it mean to discern the Lord's body? That's how you're supposed to be doing it. It's all right if you get it wrong.
Understand.
Huh? There you go. You're understanding. You are thinking about what Christ has done for you. You're thinking about the price that has been paid for you. You think about all the suffering that Christ had to endure on that cross for 6 hours. See, that's how you discern the Lord's body. It says right here, if you're just going through the motions here in a little bit when we take the Lord's Supper and you are not discerning the Lord's body, it is such a big deal that you're actually eating and drinking damnation to your own soul. That is a bad thing. So I want you to understand, friends, worship is not us just being here. You don't get points awarded to you just for showing up. God wants so much more than that. And before we move on, I want you to ask yourself the question, is all of you here right now? You're here physically, but at the house, that's where your spirit is. That's where your mind is. You're in the bed still. You're here physically, but you're checked out mentally. You're thinking about how you're going to be going to the Deer Woods here in just a few weeks. Thinking about how you're going to be doing something out with your job. That's not what God wants. There's the next part from Malachi chapter 1, though. Worship is not giving God the leftovers, not giving God the stuff that you just don't really want. See here, it came time for them to give God an offering. And he says here, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept your person, says the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you beseech God that he be gracious unto us that this hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, says the Lord of hosts? All right. When it came time for these priests to give an offering to God, what were they giving him?
Garbage.
They were giving God the stuff that they don't want. They're saying, well, it's time to give an offering. What are we going to give him today? How about we give God this lamb that's only got three good legs? Remember, he had that wolf chew on him last week. He's getting gangrene. He's going to die soon. Let's just give that to God. Under the Old Testament, when it came time to give an offering, what were they supposed to give?
The best.
The best. That's right. That's Leviticus 1, 1 through 3. We're not going to read all of it, but it says there, what you're to be given is a male without blemish. Without blemish means he is perfect. He looks good. You take the best that you got and you give that to God. All right. God asked the question, though, in Malachi 1, 8. When they're giving him the leftovers, offer it to your governor. Give him that. Would he like that? Would he feel honored in any way by having a lamb that is blind and lame? Would he want that? Let me ask you. Think about your governor. Think about Sarah Huckabee Sanders. You may not like her. You may like her. It don't matter. If you don't like her, I want you to imagine that she's going to be coming to your house still, nonetheless, after service today for lunch. And if you don't like her, it's going to be to have a debate with you. I don't know. But she is going to bring the media with her. The news cameras are going to be there. K-A-R-K, K-A-T-H-V, whatever they are. They're going to be there. And they're going to document every moment of the interaction. When it comes time for you to open up the door for Sarah Huckabee Sanders, how are you going to look? Are you going to be wearing a white, dingy t-shirt with Dorito stains rubbed all over it? No. You're going to be wearing the best clothes that you got. And when she comes into your house with the media, what's your house going to look like? You got to clear stuff off your couch for her to have a place to sit down? No. That place is going to look spick and span. You're going to give her your best in that. And when it comes time to eat lunch today after services at your house, are you going to throw some ramen noodles in the microwave for her? No. You're going to fix the best food you know how to fix and be on the best dishes that you got. Why would you do that? Because she's the governor. Are you kidding me? That's a big deal. What God is saying here in Malachi 1, that's what I want. I want your best in everything. On the back of your paper. Now we're talking about our offering. Our offering. 1 Corinthians 16 and in verse 2. This is a verse that we hear either quoted or alluded to every first day of the week. It says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. The New King James Version will say, lay aside. Now, let me ask you this. What does it mean to lay by in store? What does it mean to lay aside? What does that mean? What did you say?
To reserve.
To reserve. You have it ready, right? You have it ready. It's prepared. You've had thought beforehand in this. All right, lay by him in store as God has prospered him. What does that mean as God has prospered him? I'm not answering. I already know the answer. What does it mean as God has prospered him?
That God has blessed you.
That's right. As God has blessed you. That there be no gatherings when I come. See, this morning, we're going to be having an opportunity when we're going to be passing a plate around and we're going to put our offering to God in it. My question is this. Are you the type of person who just reaches into your pocket when that plate comes around, like you were surprised it was going to be coming around, and you're going to pull out the very first thing that comes in your hand, whether that be some loose change or some stray dollar bills, you're going to throw that in the plate and say, God, there you go, you can have it. What would that actually be in the eyes of God? What would that be? Leftovers. You didn't care about that. That means nothing to you. You're just giving Him the stuff that you found in your pocket. When we're talking about an offering to God, what is God really concerned about? What's He really concerned about?
Our purpose.
Your heart, your purpose. That's exactly right. When you look in Luke 21, verse 1 through 4, this is Jesus seeing that old widow woman who gives those two mites. We all know that story. He looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow casting in there two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than all they. For all these of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God of their abundance. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. God is not concerned with the amount that you have written on the check. God is concerned with your heart. Have you given everything that you got to Him, or are you holding something from Him? See, in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, Paul says to the Corinthians about their giving, how they promised to be giving something a whole year ahead of time. He says, you guys need to have it ready. He says, if there be first a willing mind, It is accepted according to what a man has and not according to what he does not have. You know what that verse is saying? You cannot give to God what you don't have. That's what it says. It's accepted according to what you do have if you first have a willing mind. I cannot give God $1 million. I've never had $1 million to give. But if you are wanting to do it, freely, happily, and it is in proportion to what God has blessed you with, it is accepted. That's what it's saying. Everyone knows this verse, 7:9. 7:9, I got it backwards. 9:7 in 2 Corinthians. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let me ask you this question. When it comes time for you to give your offering to God and it's your turn to put something in the plate and you look at the plate and you say, oh, I don't want to do it. I could use this for me and what I want. What should you just do with it? Huh?
Keep it.
God don't want it. He don't want your leftovers. He don't want your obligated offering. And that leads us to the next point. Worship is not an obligation. It is something that you get to do. You have the privilege to serve a God who loves you and has been so gracious to you. In Malachi 1:13, look at how these priests felt when it came time to go worship God. You said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and you snuff at it, says the Lord of hosts. You brought that which was torn and lame and sick, thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, says the Lord of hosts? Let me ask you, what does it mean when someone says, oh, what a weariness it is? What does it mean when it says they sneer at it? What does that mean? You do this, right? We got to go again. I don't want to do this today. Let's just go and get it over with. It's annoying to them. You come in here and huff and puff. Oh, do we really got to sing all the verses of this song? Oh, does a preacher really got to preach this long? It's a weariness to us. Friends, I want you to understand, God knows how you feel this morning. We're about to get into that. God knows that if this morning your mom and dad had to drag you out of the house to come here, God knows if your husband and wife had to drag you out of the house to come here, He knows it. Let me ask you, if that is your attitude, see, we're talking about the spirit. We ain't talking about the true side of it. We got that one down. If that is your attitude when you come into the place of worship, God asks the question of these priests. It needs to be asked today, should I accept this from your hand? How would your spouse feel? Think about it. How would your spouse feel? You treated them the same way these priests treated God. You're there physically, but that's about it. You checked out mentally. You always give your spouse the leftovers of your time, of your money, and of your life. And every time you're around them, you don't want to be around them. You huff and puff and you sneer at it. How would they feel? They would feel disrespected. They would feel not honored at all. God feels the exact same way. You know what the difference between your spouse and God is? You can fool your spouse for a little while. God, you can never fool. He knows exactly how you feel the moment that you have it inflamed inside of your mind. In Revelation 2:23, points this out. One of many spots. It says, I will kill her children with death, and all the church shall know, listen to this, that I am He which does what? Which searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your work. See, God knows at this precise moment how you feel about all this. And as we're going through this gospel meeting through Wednesday, God is going to know how you feel each and every night when it comes time to be here. He knows it. See, we're very good at fooling one another. We're very good at standing there in the foyer and shaking hands with people and saying, how you doing? I'm doing good. How are you? Oh, I'm doing fine. And on the inside, it's just an absolute misery. We can fool one another like that. You can't do that with God. See, what we need to learn from Malachi chapter 1 is God is very connected to what it is that we're doing here this morning. And if you truly understand that, friends, never again do we need to doze off during a prayer, during a sermon. Never again do we need to withhold our voice from singing with the understanding of the words that come out of our mouths. Never again do we need to be reluctant to give to God an offering that He has so richly blessed us with. And never again are we not going to be discerning the Lord's body when it comes time to take the Lord's Supper. Malachi 1:10. This verse right here is one of the biggest punches in the nose that the Bible gives. God says to these priests who are disrespecting Him, He says, who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Do you see what God is saying right here? God is saying, if you guys are determined to come into the house of worship and disrespect me, He says, I wish there was someone among you that had the guts to get up and lock the door so where you can't come in here and do this to me. If you're not here to give me what I want, you don't want to be here, I wish someone had the guts to lock the doors and you couldn't come in. That's what He's saying. See, worship, what we're doing this morning, friends, is all about Him. Yes, a byproduct of it is us encouraging our brethren by being together. But make no mistake, this is not about you. This is about the Creator. And when we do this wrong, what we're doing this morning, God is angry and God is offended. He does not take it lightly. And what our goal and our aim is this morning, hopefully, is when we are done, that God is looking down on us from heaven saying, did you see the MacArthur Drive Church of Christ and how they were worshiping me? They really honored me this morning. They sang with the understanding. They sang and they gave me these praises. They were concerned about me. That's what we want.